I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Janet Davidson. She's co-chair of Women in Film International and filmmakers Debriana Mancini, and joining us by phone, Deborah Haywood. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Hello.
So, Janet, tell us, there is this Friday and Saturday here in Santa Fe, there's a short film showcase coming up, and you're the producer of it.
Yes, actually, that is going to be across the globe. We're in 33 countries and states, this same showcase, and it'll be showing next week. For instance, we're going to Los Angeles on Tuesday, Monday, where it's going to be in Los Angeles. But it's a compilation of our members who have sent in to each one of their chapters two choices that the chapters end up sending to me. And then the choice was narrowed down from there so that we could make this DVD, which really highlights this tremendous talent and unsung talent that's out there with women filmmakers.
And so it's quite a competitive process.
It can be. I know Montreal snuck in four. They were only supposed to do two, but they snuck in four. And I said, darn ya.
And so also, it's an opportunity which people don't usually have except during film festivals to see short films, which are often the place where new filmmakers debut their work because, of course, they haven't been able to get funded to make a 90-minute or more film. But you can make a 5-minute film or a 20-minute film with minimal expense and get it out there.
Some of these are quite expensive, and I must say that I did a survey on where they all got their money from, and quite a few of them have been helped by their governments, even Minnesota. I think even more than that, it's a place where you can really explore subjects that the regular media is maybe a little too frightened to take on. You can really, believe it or not, in 15 minutes tell a story from beginning to end that can be quite startling and earth-changing for people.
And speaking of which, let's talk about Deborah Haywood's film for a moment. Deborah, your short film is called Sis, and it's about... I mean, it's very affecting. I mean, it's about a little girl who is asking her older sister what the word pedo means, as somebody has scrawled that graffiti on a man's door in the neighborhood. And the older sister, not thinking, says, oh, it's a man who likes children. And it goes on from there. How did you conceive of this film?
I'm not really sure. It's one of those occasions that really rarely happens. But I was in the cinema and I was watching an unrelated film. And suddenly this image popped into my head of this little girl with, you know, a balloon up her top and fake boobs kind of thing. And then the whole short just spouted out. And I was just, like, scrambling around looking for paper and tried to write it down. But, I mean, really, I think it comes from a lot of places. I think as a child, I was obsessed with... you know, being pregnant and having boobs and just like women's bodies and breastfeeding. And I think that we all are. I mean, I know my daughter was regularly giving birth to cushions when she was little. And so I think I must have thought, oh, you know, what is the worst thing that can happen to this little girl who's going around dressed as an adult? And I suppose it's, you know, to track down an unsuitable man.
And it definitely, I mean, it's done in such a short time, and it's so compactly done, the way it kind of plays into that whole thing that, as you say, all little girls do, which is dress up as adults, but also the way they very innocently sexualize themselves and have no idea what they're doing in the process.
Yes, I mean, I did want it to be all about innocence, you know, like doing handstands and showing the knickers and, you know, taking everything at face value. Because, you know, children are innocent. And so that's something that I wanted to explore, how that innocence can be used to tell a really serious story, but also hopefully in a humorous way as well. Because I think there's a lot of humor between those gaps of... you know, what you're saying and what you're meaning sort of thing.
And it also, I mean, without giving away too much of the film, it raises questions about the innocence or guilt of people who did something once in the past and to what extent they should or shouldn't be stigmatized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope that it's ambiguous whether this man is a paedophile or he isn't, because I think when you're a children, especially, if there's somebody a bit odd in the neighbourhood, he automatically gets branded as, you know, a weirdo or a paedophile or something, when really maybe he's just a bit strange. And but also on the estate where we shot, I didn't realise at the time, but some children were telling me that actually there is a man who lives on that estate that people say he is a paedophile. And, you know, they all go and throw eggs at his window and terrorise him. But I've no idea if he's on the sex offenders list or not. You know, there's been a lot of controversy in England over the last few years because paedophiles and sex offenders, you know, there's been a public list made. So, you know, you can find out if your neighbour's a paedophile or not, sort of thing.
So this film is screening in Santa Fe and indeed all over the world this Friday and Saturday night. Deborah, do you have any new projects in the works?
I've just finished a new one called Biatch, which is about a girl who gets off with her best mate's boyfriend. So I'm a bit nervous about how that's going to be received, because this has done so well and now I feel this pressure to be, you know, deliver something that people like, but I've got no idea if they're going to like it or not. But I mean, that's all we can do, is just keep chipping away and, you know, make something for ourselves and then hope that other people like it as well.
Debriana Mancini of KSFR fame and a person very active around town in theater and film. You've made an animation.
I did.
That's so cute.
Thank you.
It's about a kitty.
Yeah, it is about a kitty. I co-wrote it with a friend of mine in L.A. when I was living there. We used to go on walks and talk about our pets and our families and things like that. And one day we were talking about our cats and we started exchanging stories. And when I got home, I called her back and I said, "Hey, Anne, I think we can write a children's book about this. Do you want to do it with me?" And she said, "Okay." So we started writing the story, and as I had never any intention of illustrating it whatsoever. But I wanted to be able to tell the illustrator what I wanted, because I had really specific images in my mind. So I would storyboard it along. And one day Anne said to me, "You know, I like your images. They fit our story. Why don't you do it?" So I did. And I kept it for a long time. And then my husband pulled it out one day and said, "I think I can animate this for you. Why don't I try doing that? And we'll see what happens." So we did. And that's how we came up with Picking Up Feats.
Picking Up Feats. Feats, of course, is the name of the little kitty.
Yeah.
And this is an example of how, with minimal resources, mm-hmm. you can make a short film.
Yes, we did.
Magic markers.
Yeah, magic markers. I had I knew what I wanted. You know, I could see the images in my mind. So she would have gotten me anything I wanted to produce the image. So I just said, I want those watercolor markers, because I wanted the colors to be strong and bold and primary, and because that's the story. I mean, it's a pretty clear story, and it was the only male in the story is the cat.
And it's a breath of fresh air in a sometimes very serious group. There's a couple of breath of fresh airs in this, though, but it really comes at a nice place. And it's the only animation, and I might say that the only other time New Mexico was represented in the International Showcase was also an animated spot that ended up on there. And it was Kate Wolf's. Yes, I think that's it. And it was just magnificent and very interesting that we're twice in animation here.
Is that the same Kate Wolf who has a film in this one?
No. Mm-mm. Kate Wolf is a New Zealand gal in this one. Yeah. Each chapter ultimately was only allowed one per chapter to go up there. And there was one chapter that, quite frankly, they were all so bad that I talked to the president of that chapter and I said, "You know, next year."
right.
Believe me, I'm beyond thrilled to be in this group of very, very talented people.
So we're talking about Women in Film New Mexico, Women in Film International, the Short Film Showcase that is coming up on Friday and Saturday night here in Santa Fe. So, I mean, you can't obviously tell us all the plots, but give us a rundown of some of the variety, Janet Davidson, of other short films that are going to be in this showcase.
Oh, my. Well, it's very interesting because it starts out with a film, What Kind of Planet Are We On? And it's a very interesting little film and ultimately is very timely because it is about same-sex Social Security and the ability to collect death benefits when you've been married for many, many years to a same-sex partner. And it was very interesting also because Nigeria, for the first time, has joined in. There is a Nigerian chapter, actually. And Nigeria, she wrote me after she got the DVD that I sent her, and she was really upset because she said, we can't show this here. My sentiments may be with you, but we cannot do anything about same-sex. And then about the pedo, as she called it, she said, yes, we have pedos, but we can't show that here. And the New Zealand film, This Is Her, has briefly simulated sex. I mean, but it's not in a very comic, very, very good taste, and they're not naked. But she said they couldn't show that either.
Wow.
And so I had
meaning
never
there's rules or there's just social customs?
Social customs that they, and we I haven't heard from India because we have a new chapter forming in India and Abu Dhabi now. And I'm quite sure they might be having the same problem. The Indian chapter called us with some amazing problems they were having on the sets, which sounded like us 30 years ago, where they had, for instance, she said not one woman is allowed to do hair or makeup in India.
Oh, my gosh.
On the set. And I looked, and I said to her, I said, well, you know, when I started years ago, there were no women doing hair and makeup on the sets, just as there were no women directors or ADs in those days. They were all done by men, and it was a powerful position because Bud Westmore and Max Factor, they all started there. So they're about 30 years behind us, and I guess Nigeria is easily that too. And so you forget that other countries can't show what we can show, and I hope this country remains a country that we're free to show these wonderful, wonderful cutting pieces of life.
So how are women doing, Janet, as directors, as filmmakers, and so on? I mean, we've always been actors of female parts, but other than that, behind the scenes and in high positions?
Well, it seemed like it was getting better, and it was getting better. There was no two ways about it. I know people know this story, and they never want to hear it again, but when I joined the Directors Guild in Los Angeles sued all the producers on behalf of minorities and women so we could work. And from that lawsuit, which was denied because the Directors Guild was equally guilty of it, we were forced to sit with the producers every so many weeks and hash out our problems. And because of that, I actually started working. And then it was my business, and I was determined to only hire women and minorities behind me so that we could get a good workforce trained and out there. And it really seemed like it was done. I mean, last year, Catherine Bigelow got the Oscar. It seemed like finally we were breaking the ceiling. Well, the new figures came out, and now 7% of feature films are directed by women.
7%?
7%. That's last year's total.
Wow.
It seems like it's better, but if you pick up the Directors Guild magazine for each month and see the screening, you may see one woman in 20.
And, you know, there are people who say, when you say, wow, I hired only women and minorities, people might say, wow, you're not even hiring on the basis of merit, you're hiring on the basis of that prejudice. But as you say, it is only when you have a workforce of people that then they start mentoring other people, and then you have even the chance of equality.
Oh, believe me, I fired many a woman who didn't match up. You know, I had no problem turning around and saying, you're out of here. No, I would say it nicely. I would say, perhaps you would like a different career than this. You know, and many of them did, and many of them were much better at what they then chose to do. It's being in the film industry is not for everybody. It's a tough, tough job, and you got to have the chops to do it.
I have to say, Mary Charlotte, it's interesting that we're talking about this because I have a friend on Facebook that I don't know him, but he's in, you know, other than just on Facebook, he's in Finland. And when I announced that my film had been selected for this program, he Facebooked me back and he said, why is there a women in film? Why do women need special help? You know, I'm trying to get my film out there, and I don't have any special help. And I said to him, you know, it's not special help. Do you realize how underrepresented we are as a group? Of course we have to come together and support each other. That's what this is about. And he was having none of it. And so it's interesting how people still, I don't know, they don't see how underrepresented we are in this industry.
Deborah Haywood, what does this look like from your point of view in the UK?
Well, I think the figures are about the same in the UK. What I have noticed is that there are a lot of women making short films, but they don't seem to make that transition to make feature films. And I'm not sure why that is. I don't know whether it's to do with confidence or you get bullied or squeezed out on your way up. I'm not really sure what it is. But, you know, it's definitely a battle. And I think also when you do make a film, like often the programmers are men. So I think naturally we gravitate towards, you know, seeing ourselves on the screen. And probably if I was a female programmer, I'd want to pick stories about women. And so, you know, it's all the way down the food chain from production and from development. And, you know, it's all the way, you know, it is male dominated, and it is quite scary, actually. At the same time, I know we have to toughen up, but I don't want to act like a man to get a film made. I want to, you know, tell women's stories and in a female way.
Yeah, Catherine Hargrove, who did the first Twilight, which I think grossed $400 million, couldn't even get an interview for any kind of for the new Batman or one of the new super flick shows, the tentpole shows. She couldn't even get an interview. And when I started directing in television, it was very clear that they had a number system. You could have maybe two women per 22, or maybe if you were an extremely enlightened show, like my first directing assignment was on Cagney and Lacey. So if you were a somewhat enlightened show, you may be able to have four. But really there was, and it seemed to be not the showrunners that were doing that as much as the network. And I must say I've seen some stars who did not want women directing them either, which I always found that very interesting, yes.
Wow.
Because
they
kind of gravitate towards thinking daddy is right and daddy can tell them the right thing to do.
Were there mommy issues?
There may be. I don't know. Or competition or whatever. You know, it's so complicated. When I first started, I remember other women turning and saying, well, you're good looking, so you'll move ahead. And that, whether or not that was true, the reality was a lot of men didn't want to take women on location because then their wives would go crazy. It got so crazy complicated. I had one director when I was an assistant director, and I hired a fantastic second AD, and he started screaming at me that he already had one woman on the set. Why did he need another one?
Oh, my goodness. So we are not out of the Stone Age yet, ladies and gentlemen. Janet Davidson is co-chair of Women in Film International. She's producer of the short film showcase that's showing in Santa Fe and all over the world this Friday and Saturday at the CCA in Santa Fe. You can get more information at New Mexico Women in Film, which is nmwif.com.
Friday, it will start at 7. Saturday, our SAGE Award event, which this year is Barbara Martinez-Chetner, who is coming in from Mexico, I think she's coming in. She's doing another amazing film and another project for HBO. Her career has been nothing but supporting women and shining light on terrible atrocities across the globe, and especially in Mexico. So that will happen at 6, then we'll show the film at 7, and then you're all invited down at 8:30 for a reception down in their wonderful new gallery, or the gallery that's done for the 18 Days Women in the Arts event.
Yes, 18 days, that's right. Debriana Mancini has a film in the showcase, and Deborah Haywood also. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
And I just forgot to say about the teen event.
Oh, right.
That happens at 3 o'clock at the CCA on Saturday. every young lady, under 25, teen, that wants to know anything about the film
industry.
Under 25
is teen?
Well, a teen and under 25 will take. Ask Charlie
Sheen.
All right,
whatever.
In any case, we will be visiting with them, and they can come right up to Debriana, right up to me, and say, how did you do it, and what did you do, and all of that in a very comfortable setting. It's just us in a wonderful, comfortable setting for them. So bring your kids.
Excellent. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.